Chapter 2, Spiritual versus Legal Entities. A church in America can choose to be a spiritual entity, an earthly entity, or a blend of those two entities. Believe it or not, it's very clear the First Amendment to the United States Constitution protects churches that want to remain purely spiritual entities. That's what the First Amendment is all about. That's what the First Amendment Religion Clause, and specifically the Establishment Clause, is all about. In fact, a church that chooses to be what we call a legal entity, I'll get into the definition of that in just a minute, is actually violating the biblical concept, the biblical principle of separation of church and state. It's also violating the spirit of the United States Constitution, Amendment Number 1, Religion Clause. There are also constitutional provisions in every state which protect churches who do not want to get incorporated, who do not want to get 501c3 or 508 status, or become a legal entity in any way. A New Testament church is a spiritual house only, not an earthly house or an earthly spiritual house, a combination of the two. For a church to be a spiritual entity only and a New Testament church, the Lord Jesus Christ must be her only head. Doing one thing that combines church and state creates a legal entity. Legal entity means, according to Black's Law Dictionary, quote, legal existence, an entity other than a natural person who has sufficient existence in legal contemplation that it can function legally, be sued or sue, and make decisions through agents, as in the case of corporations, unquote. A legal entity is designed and created by man and run according to man-made rules and procedures. Incorporating makes a church a legal entity, as does obtaining 501c3 or 508 status. A legal entity is an earthly, not a spiritual entity. A church who is a spiritual entity cannot sue or be sued because she is under the Lord Jesus Christ only and has no legal existence and therefore no ties to the state. In modern day America, a church who becomes a legal entity is given absolutely no control over the state, but the state is given a good deal of control over that church. An incorporated, either aggregate or sole, church with a 501c3 or 508 status is under both the state and federal governments. A church can become a legal entity in several ways. A church can become a legal entity by incorporating, becoming a charitable trust or unincorporated association, and also by opening up a bank account, applying for a taxpayer identification, entering into a contract, and so forth. A church who holds property is a legal entity. If she holds property in trust through a trustee, she is a legal entity. Only a legal entity can hold property. Although there is no precedent in Scripture for a New Testament church to own or hold property, since such a church is a spiritual entity only, a New Testament church obviously must occupy real property to exist. Real property means, quote, land and generally whatever is erected or growing upon or affixed to land, unquote. Hereinafter, the author, unless otherwise indicated, will use the term property in referring to real property. In America, a New Testament church may occupy property in a manner consistent with Bible principle in at least three ways. As will be shown in chapter 7, a church may use both real and personal property held by a pastor/trustee under a declaration of trust for the benefit of the Lord Jesus Christ. In such a trust, the church does not hold the property through a trustee. Second, a church may use and occupy property if the owner gives the church permission to do so. Second, a church may use and occupy property if the owner gives the church permission to do so. Or third, a pastor/trustee, under a declaration of trust, may lease property to be used by a church for the benefit of the Lord Jesus Christ. A pastor trustee may hold legal title to real and or corporal personal property. That includes movable and tangible things such as furniture, merchandise, and so forth. And he can do so for the benefit of the true owner, the Lord Jesus Christ, through a declaration of trust without having created a legal entity. Such a trust relationship cannot sue or be sued. The pastor trustee holds and administers property for the benefit of the Lord Jesus Christ. The church holds or owns nothing and remains a spiritual entity. This book will show that a church who holds real and or personal property through a corporation has partially placed herself under the control of civil government, the sovereign of the corporate part of that church. Such a church operates with two heads. An incorporated church, which obtains 501c3 or 508 tax-exempt status, has agreed to further limitations and controls by a second secular head, that is, the federal government. Remember, incorporation is a matter of state government. 501c3 and 508 come under federal law. State laws providing for church nonprofit corporation status usually link federal 501c3 status to incorporation. Civil government has no authority over New Testament churches, but it does have authority over incorporated 501c3 or 508 churches or religious organizations and other types of legal entities. Although the Internal Revenue Service, the IRS, recognizes that there is a distinction between churches with legal entity status and other types of 501c3 or 508 organizations, such as Muslim mosque, Hindu temples, Planned Parenthood organization, churches of Wicca, and so forth, any type 501c3 or 508 organization is treated exactly as or better than an incorporated 501c3 or 508 church is treated. The state and federal governments, by providing for incorporation, 501c3, and 508 tax exemption, and other types of devices, have become involved with the exercise of religion. And therefore, there is no free exercise of religion for churches which have been seduced by these government creations. Through offering incorporation and later the 501c3 and 508 tax exemption to churches, almost all of the states in the federal government opened the door through which almost all churches promptly entered and became 501c3 and 508 churches or religious organizations. Incorporation of churches was offered by the states and did not violate the First Amendment because originally the First Amendment applied only to the federal government. However, the federal government has given some authority over the contracts created by incorporation because of the contract clause of Article 1, Section 10 of the United States Constitution. Churches sought incorporation partly to gain federal government protection of the contract with the state. 501c3 and 508 tax exemption ties churches to the federal government. State and federal governments have successfully tempted most churches to entangle themselves with civil government, thereby removing themselves partially or totally from under the headship of Christ and placing themselves under the jurisdiction of the state of incorporation and the federal government. Since ratification of the First Amendment, the federal government has never forced a church to incorporate or get 501c3 or 508 status. The Supreme Court still understands that the state cannot legally interfere with a church that does not willingly submit itself to the state. In effect, as will be shown, the incorporation 501c3 or 508 tax exemption is nothing more than a scheme designed to educate and control churches. The plan has worked. The state knows that it cannot control and educate a New Testament church. Civil government cannot tell a New Testament church what to believe, say, or do. The state has no control over such a church. I want to give my scriptural references to support some of the biblical matters I dealt with in this chapter. They're not very extensive in this chapter, as in some of the longer chapters. 1 Corinthians 6:15 through 20, 2 Corinthians 6:16, Ephesians 2:19 through 22, Hebrews 3:6, 9, 1 through 2, and 11, 1 Peter 2, 4 through 6. I also cited One Nation Under Law, America's Early National Struggles to Separate Church and State, by Mark Douglas McGarvey. I used some sites from Black's Law Dictionary, also from 76 Amger Second, that's an American legal encyclopedia. It deals with trust, the kind of trust that I'm talking about. I also cited some sections and chapters for God Betrayed. Again, you can go to the book to get all citations. May the Lord richly bless you as you go through these studies.